Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we honor you today. We thank you so much. God, truly, you are a good and wonderful God to me and to us and to this nation. And we bless you, Lord, because of your goodness. May your word fall upon good ground that we might receive it, my Lord. And not only receive it, but that we walk in it, we live by it. And in all the things that we do, God, we let it be made known that you are the God that is the Lord of our lives. We appreciate your word again. Let it have free course in our lives. In Jesus' name, again, we say amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Actually, the book of Chronicles, and then you have Kings. These books kind of cross each other. And they give an idea as to how Israel went throughout their lives, and especially when it talks about the different kings that they had. Starting at verse 1 with 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and it says, or reads, so Abijah, which was a king of Israel, slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And I want to reiterate that again. Asa did good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images. And he cut down the groves. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. Also, he took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And I'm going to stop right there because I want to talk about this man, Asa. First of all, I'm just going to title this message, How Will You Finish Your Race? Because Asa here is an example as to how it was that a man started out being king. And it says that he did good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And I think that that's an honorable thing for anybody to say. It's honorable because a man that is actually the king of the nation, he did away with the altars and the bad things that Israel had grown to accept because of other kings. By the way, Asa was the third king of the divided kingdom of Judah. In other words, there was Israel, which was the northern kingdom, and then Judah and the tribe of Benjamin was of the southern kingdom. And so, therefore, Israel being split as a nation was reigned by different kings at different times. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, there were 33 kings that ruled over the whole nation of Israel. At a time when God said that you don't need kings, you need judges, as I've established you to have, Israel desired kings, and Saul was the first one, but it was a united kingdom. But now they went through a little challenge, and they split up. 10 tribes went one way, and then Judah and Benjamin went another way, and they formed a country, as it were, of themselves. And so Asa was the king of Judah and Benjamin, actually. And Asa was one of the few good kings of this particular kingdom that they reigned in. Of the other kingdom that there was, the northern kingdom, none of the kings were good kings. All of them were evil. And of Asa's kingdom, of course, he was one of the few good ones. There was David, of course, that was a part of that kingdom. And there was Solomon that was a part of that kingdom. Solomon was not a good king. He was a wise king, but he wasn't really a good king. And so we see here that Asa himself saw that things need to have been changed. I'm going to do what's right before God. I'm going to tear down the altars, and I'm going to do good for the people, because when the king rules with a good hand, the people live at peace, as the Bible tells us. And so in verse 1, it talks about how it was that he removed these foreign altars and images. And it reminds me as to how we are when we get born again. It reminds me as to how we are when we say that we're going to serve God. God, I'm going to remember you all the days of my life. I'm going to do that which is good. I'm going to get rid of all this bad stuff that's in my life. God, I'm going to live for you. And we start out that way. But we have to understand, according to Ecclesiastes 9:11, the race is not for the swift and the strong, but it is for the one that will endure really to the end. And I want to put this in your heart and in your mind today, that in this race, that if you've decided to live for God, you're in a race, and you're in this race for a long time, unless you're planning on leaving tomorrow. This race that I've decided to live, I've been already living it for 20 years. In this race that I've decided to live at the age of 25, I've been living it for that long, and if I'm going to live another 25 or even 50 years, I plan to live and walk in this race the same way that I started out walking. But Asa was a little bit different. The thing about Asa is, because of what he decided in his heart and mind to do, there was peace in that nation. See, because God is this way. He's able to give peace and he's able to take peace away. But I do know that God, or for a man or a woman that decides to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, God will bless them in a special way. He will do great and magnificent things for that person that has made up in their heart and mind, I'm just going to do it good. I'm going to live right. I'm going to honor God in the way that I walk, in the way that I talk. I'm going to honor God in the way that I do business with other people. I'm going to honor God, and God would give you peace. Even in the midst of storms, God would give that. It's a strange thing, but God's hand is always working behind the scenes, so that when we might even complain because we don't have what we want, God is holding back the hands of the things that we deserve. When I might want this, God is saying, but yeah, but I'm holding back of all this calamity that you really deserve in your life because of the way that you're living, because of the way that you walk. That's just the way that God is. He's a good God. And so it's one of the benefits of just doing right. God will do great things for us. Now, just to read on down through here in verse 6, it says that, and Asa built great fenced cities in Judah. And he went out and he built walls and towers and gates. And I'm going down through this chapter here. Asa did some magnificent things. And he did it because he wanted to do what was right. But then at the same time, God blessed him. Another thing that God did for him, if you drop down to the verse 8, you'll see that Asa had an army of about a total of 580,000 men. I think it was about 300,000 in the nation of Judah, tribe of Judah, and about 280,000 came out of the tribe of Benjamin. These two tribes made the southern end of this country. But yet they came up against a man that had an army of 1,200,000 people that Asa and that tribe had to fight against. Now, you would think to yourself that I'm going to fight two times more men. How is it that I can prevail? Because Jesus said that any man that goes to war with another man, he has to be willing to count the cost. Otherwise, he needs to not go to war. It goes to show how good God can be to us when we do that which is right. Asa and Benjamin and the tribes of Judah went against this one man, and they took care of them just like that. It wasn't actually them, but it was actually God that was moving on their behalf. And one of the reasons why he moved on their behalf, because in verse 11 of chapter 14, and it says that Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God. Let not man prevail against thee. And so what God did, he honored Asa's prayer. And he said, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. See, here's a country that had 1 million men to fight. And you only got 580,000. But the thing about God is that when you pray to him, and you pray to him in an earnest way, and you've been living right, and you've been doing that which is right, God is willing to go in and smoke your enemy for you. He's willing to go in and take care of a lot of challenges that might normally be in your life. It's amazing, I've said this before, it's amazing that a man can make it from point of a child up even until the point of age 20 or 30 or 50 years of age and doesn't end up dying before all because of all of the things that can come against us. The common cold can kill some people. The flu kills other people. 30 to 40,000 people die by the flu each year alone. You have things like accidents that can kill people. You have things like different diseases, emphysema, tuberculosis, cancer, serious diseases, AIDS. All of that, you and I could potentially contract any of those at any given time, except for the hand of the Almighty God that weighs on us. It is His goodness. And most of the time, when you live right, when you do right, God will certainly walk in your presence and in your life like that, that He will preserve you even to be the age of 70 and 80 years of age is the goodness of the Lord. And I understand that there are some people that live that long and don't deserve the goodness of the Lord, but they do anyway. It's just how good God is. He takes care of us when we walk upright. And so God smoked the Ethiopians and caused them to flee. Dropping down to verse 15, though, we see something that happened that began to change in Asa's life. And like I say, it reminds me as to how I am. It reminds you perhaps of how you are. You decide that you're going to live right. You decide that you're going to do right. But then there are different things that pop up in our lives that draw our attention, that we just want to do, and we begin to change on God. In verse 15, it says this, and the Spirit of God came down on Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. While ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Let that be a statement for all of us to understand and know. Hear me, Asa, and Judah, and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. God will always be with you if you be with him. He will always bless you if you bless him. It's a law that's written and is established in stone that God never does turn his back on the man or the woman that seeks him. He never turned his ways or his loving kindness on the man that really seeks after him. And it says that God will be found of you. You know, I've heard some people say that God wasn't lost and that we can't find God is actually God that finds us. No, we can find God too. God finds us sometime, but we have to seek him to find him. Because God can be in some of the strangest places sometime. He can be in a place where there are everybody that's in the place that's a sinner, but yet God can be there. God can be in a place where you think, well, child, what do they know about God? And that could be the very place where God may be abiding. But sometimes we can't find God because we ain't seeking him. But he said here, and this is something amazing that he would tell him. And now in verse 3, it says, now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. You see, so we can find God. He can be found. But we have to turn away from our ways and it's kind of strange. Asa at one point in time did that which was right before God, but now he's beginning to turn a little bit. And we'll see that he really got rebuked for what he did. Going over to verse 16, chapter 16. And there was a war in verse 1 with Baasha. And in the 6th and 13th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, camped up against Judah and built Ramah. to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasa, king of Israel, that he may depart." Let me break this down a little bit to you to see, let you know what's going on right here. You see, the northern kingdom came against the southern kingdom, Asa. And they set up a fence wherein they couldn't go in or nor go out. They couldn't conduct any business. They couldn't communicate with any of their other friendly nations. And so now here it is. You got the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom that's against each other. But instead of Asa doing what he did from the beginning by seeking God and seeking the prophet Azariah, he decided that he's going to make a league with Syria. Now, you know, Syria as a nation today is the same nation that they dealt with years ago. It is a nation that doesn't like Israel. It is a nation that won't do good for Israel. It is a nation in which Asa decided to make a league with. And the problem is this: why would we trust in God when we're going up against a million men and not trust in God now? You see, God always want us to trust in him. He don't ever want us making leagues with people and depending on men, depending on organizations, depending on other things. God is enough all by himself to take care of our needs. He's enough all by himself to deliver us out of our trials and the tribulations that we have. But instead of us putting trust in God, we will put trust in men. And that's what Asa did. You see, because remember what I said from the beginning? Asa did that which was right. But it's amazing that sometimes when we start out doing that which is right and that which is good, we tend to shift and we allow the world to draw us into all kinds of stuff where we forget about God. God, your hand ain't big enough. Your ways aren't good enough for me. I have to depend on a man. And I'm going to depend on this nation of Syria to help me now. He began to change in his ways. And when we change in our ways, we find ourselves in the middle of the race. And in the middle of this race that I'm going through, I ain't dependent on God anymore. I'm looking at the ways of the world. You see, it used to be a time that I'd get up maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and I would pray. But now instead of me getting up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, well, I guess I could maybe do it at 7 or 8 o'clock. But oh, by the way, I have to be at work by 8:30. So now I'm rushing out of here. It used to be a time that God, Lord, I just honored you in all the things that I did. I honored you with the words that I speak. I honored you with the way that I talk, the way that I walk. I honored you, God, in the way that I dressed. I honored you, God, in the way that I did all things. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a position where it's, well, God, the rest of the world dressed this way, so why can't I just tone mine down a little bit? The rest of the world put markings all over their body. Why can't I just put me a little tattoo in a particular place? The rest of the world wear tight pants and short skirts. Why can't I just modify my outfit a little bit? It's because the world begins to appeal to us. And we started out, remember, doing that which was right before God. But now we begin to slip and slide a little. And when we slip and slide, see, the things of the world begin to really appeal to us. And God, wherein he used to appeal to us, he ain't as bright as he used to be. And that what was happening with Asa. And so Asa's reign began to be in the similitude of how we are. Now, let me say this about Asa in the beginning. Asa, in the beginning, he sought God. He began to tear down the altars and the temples. But as time went by, see, he became a little stagnant with God. And his relationship with God wasn't as good as it used to be. And what happens when we become a little stagnant, we stop pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We'll just settle for just saying, okay, I'm standing here and I ain't moving backward any. I just ain't going to press anymore. And that's the way Asa was. He stopped pressing. He just settled for being stagnant. And then Asa began to be interested in other people as opposed to being interested in God. I ain't interested in doing what's right anymore. I'm just interested in just maintaining what I have. Used to be a time that I wanted to live holy and be righteous before God, but now God, hey, I've come this far, God, I think I deserve to rest. I think I deserve to maybe just sit down a little bit and take it easy, God, because I've lived for you long enough. After all, Asa, you reigned for 30-some years, and out of that 30-some years, you're midway the point. You're in the 15th year, 16th year, and you think that you can sit down and take it easy, but that's kind of like the way that we are. We stop relying on God and we rely on people. We stop relying on the strength of God. We start relying on the strength of God. And I'm going to tell you something. It ain't good when we do that. But are we intending on making it to the finish line? Are we intending on making it to the end of this? Now, I want to read one last particular scripture here. And this is chapter 16. Asa, of course, although he's going to rely on Syria, verse 7, it shows that another seer or prophet named Hanani came to him. And in verse 7, it says, and at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah. And he said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, and with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The Lord's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in your life and in my life, because we'll serve God and we'll honor him. But again, God ain't going to honor the person that won't do it right. I don't care how much we think that we can give to God, how much many good works we think we can do for God. If we ain't righteous before God, he ain't going to show himself strong in our lives. Because God looks a lot deeper. He looks at the heart. And then in verse 10, Asa did something else. Asa got mad at the seer, Hanani, and he took it out on the people. Verse 10, Asa was wroth or angry with the seer, and he put him in prison house, for he was enraged with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. You see, when you're mad with the preacher, when you're mad with the prophet, you'll do things beside yourself. When you decide that you are not going to do that which is right, you'll find yourself doing things that you just don't understand why you're doing it, but you do it anyway. That's the way Asa began to be. Now, I'm talking about a man that was a king. I'm talking about a man that was over the whole nation that started out doing that which was right before God. He finds himself in the midst of all of this stuff as life would present itself. See, life ain't going to ever be easy. In the midst of things, you'll find yourself having conflict with people that you started out doing good with. You'll find yourself having conflict with people that you were the best of friends with. But in the midst of it all, in the circumstances and situations that goes on, you find yourself, now I got to deal with something that I don't want to deal with concerning a person. And it caused conflict. But instead of us keeping our eyes on the Lord, what we tend to do is say, no, I'm going to trust in another man to help me. Because God, although He wiped out the army that was 2 times larger than mine. Maybe he can't do it again. But he can. And so what Asa did, and if you'll do a little study on the kings that came before Asa and some of the kings that came after Asa, you'll see that all of these guys did the very same thing. And I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. First of all, great example. David, he started good. He was anointed king of Israel. David was a mighty warrior. He was faithful, and he was loyal even to the man Saul that didn't even like him. It goes to show what kind of person that David was. He was a great leader, and he even was put in a position to prepare to build the temple that God was supposed to have lived in. One example, Solomon. Two example. He was the son of David, of course. He was anointed to be king of Israel. The man was wise. He had intellect. He had great wealth, all power. Of course, he had a bunch of women that went with it. And, of course, things changed there. But the thing that happened is that Solomon was used to write Proverbs. He wrote songs. He did all kinds of magnificent things that we have, that we can read even from this Bible. This is what Solomon wrote. And Solomon, as well, did what his father could not do. He built the temple for God. These guys started great, just like you and I. We start our life real great and real fine. God, I'm going to serve you until the day I die, and I'm going to do that which is right in your eyes all the days of my life. But look at what happened with David. He had a tragic ending. First of all, he became disloyal to some of his people. He committed adultery. He committed murder. You know that story with Bathsheba and Uriah, her husband. And then on top of that, he lied about it. He tried to cover his sins. And in essence, what he did, he brought judgment upon his household. His children went awry. They did all kinds of crazy stuff. And it was because of David dealing with them the wrong way. How about Solomon? Well, we know a little bit about Solomon. Solomon, although he started out right and he did that which was right in God's eyesight, he began to turn from God and he began to turn to idols. And one of the reasons why he began to turn from idols, he stopped relying on God and he started relying upon all of these women that he had in his life. And there were women from Ethiopia and the Amorites and some of the Jebusites and all of these different nations that began to influence him. Let me say this. If you are going to live the life that's right before God, number one, you have to make up your mind that I ain't going to marry some of these foreign women that I have an opportunity to marry. What do I mean when I say foreign women? There's money that's a foreign woman to some people. There's pleasure that's a foreign woman, and for women, men, to some people. There's pleasures of all sorts. They are foreign wives and husbands. But we link up to them, and when we do that, we begin to lose the love for God, and we begin to love the world and the things that are of the world. And we fall into what we call idol worship, and that's what happened with Solomon. He got into idol worship. Not only did he get into idol worship, but his philosophy of life began to change. Because his philosophy was not necessarily to serve the Lord thy God with the right spirit and heart, but to follow after the gods of these husband and wives that I've drawn to. And the thing about it, it wasn't just one. It was 1,000 of them in his case. And for us, it's 1,000. Television, as I talk about computers, sometimes reading the wrong kinds of books, going the wrong places, doing the wrong thing. All of these are wives and husbands that we've just kind of gotten hooked into. And we all have them in our lives. I stand before you. I got some that I need to be divorcing. But you know how it is. Once you marry one, it's hard to get rid of them. Johnny Taylor says cheaper to keep her. But in this case here, it ain't the case. You better hurry up and get rid of her. And so ultimately what Solomon did, he became a selfish old man set in his ways. Asa was the same way. He started out right, but the question is, how is it that he was going to end his race? And it says this in verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Asa rejected God. And in the 12th verse of chapter 16, this is the finality of Asa's life. Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but he went to physicians. My point is this. There are things that will happen in our young years we can get so excited about. And we can say to ourselves, God, I don't care. I don't wimp for women. It may be the finest men in the world don't appeal to me. And for men, the finest women in the world don't appeal to me. We can say that in the start out on this journey. But when we get mature enough to think that we can do it on our own and that other people can deliver us, we find out that I do want one of those women. I do want one of those men. And they begin to change us. And in our old age, we find ourselves in a position where we really ain't going to seek God. I don't know what it is, but in our older age, we tend to lose the edge on things when we haven't been walking the right way that we should have been walking. See, in our old age, we kind of settle for wearing glasses because we figure we can't change the situation. In our old age, we settle for wearing dentures. In our old age, we settle for walking with a cane because we think that maybe we can't change the situation. In our old age, there are things in our lives that we end up doing and doing often because we figure I'm too old to change. Tell you this quick short story. I think it was one minister that was speaking. He was preaching. And we heard that this man that he knew was about to die. He went to the hospital to see this man. And of course, the man had never served Christ in all of his days. He had grown up, did, I guess, all kinds of stuff. But now he's an older man, maybe in his 80s, perhaps 90. And he gets there and the preacher says, man, why don't you give your life to Christ? Why don't you give your life? Now is the accepted time. Give your heart to Jesus. And you'd be amazed as to what the old man said. He said, I'm too old to change now. I've been walking this way all of my life, and I'm too old to change. That's what'll happen. We can start out one way, but the question is, are we going to finish the same way that we start out? I submit to you that you can. I submit to you that you will if you make up your mind to not allow yourself to get caught up with the foreign gods, the foreign women, the foreign men, and then just settle for things in life that you are not to settle for. It's kind of tragic for David and Solomon to have had all that they had, to have had God linked up with them the way that they were. And in the end, even Asa, likewise, chose to go to the physicians who couldn't do anything for him and failed to go to God who could do everything for him. In Jesus' name, Father, my God, teach us. Help us in all of our ways, and we bless you with your word. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. I hope that will be a lesson to you as it is to me, that there are certain things in life that I just need to...